had to think. The last couple of weeks have been so crazy, I've not had time to make any YouTube content. That changes. It's the morning after the Oscars as you watch this. I'll be very sleep deprived a little bit later on in this video, so fair warning for that. But let's go in depth into the craziness that was this year's award season. Well, we've made it. It is Oscar weekend at last. Well, the closing stages of Oscar weekend as you watch this. This is our yearly wrap-up of what happened, the ups, the downs, and everything else in this year's awards race. I know, apologies for the delay in getting this online, but I think that shirt that you're seeing in wipe is a dead giveaway as to what I've been up to since we've finished getting our big 2022 wrap-up done. Over the next couple of minutes, we're going to take you through the Golden Globes, the BAFTAs, the Oscars and the Razzies in one handy wrap-up of everything you need to know coming out of award season, going into blockbuster season with John Wick and Shazam looming, with the Super Mario Brothers movie looming in the next month. It's one of those videos that has all bases covered. And for those of you who asked last year, yes, we've sorted the music out. It doesn't blare out anymore. Perks of using new technical rigs. So, let's cross over to a slightly more tired, slightly more sleep-deprived me for a summary of what happened at the Oscars in terms of a broadcast standpoint. Well, that was a long one for us UK viewers to sit through last night. 3 hours and 40 minutes, to be precise. Under 4 hours for a change, which I think we can all be very happy about. But with a show that long, we had the rise of the Daniels, the redemption of Brendan Fraser, and the return to a controversy-free telecast. Suppose you could say it was a triple R affair. Genuinely can't get nasty out of my head. It was an okay show. Sure, Jimmy Kimmel set the tone for his monologue, ripping into Nicole Kidman and that stupid AMC Odeon promo we had for most of last year.
Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
But he went as far as he could within the TV-14 confines over in America. Sure, you can't swear as much and as often over there as you could on the BAFTAs. But it was a relatively tight show considering the whole quest for viewing figures. Like, they got it done in 4 hours and they sped through as much of the awards. It didn't feel that long for a change. It could have been tightened up here and there, especially with two categories getting the full Playmoff keyboard cat treatment. That's one for those of you who are in the know. But for the first full-blown Oscar show since the pandemic, with the live orchestra back behind the stage, with the seating back to how it should be, it was a return to form. It didn't take any risks, aside from some of the wins, and we'll get to that in a minute. But there was a bit of everything this year. We had a tight first hour, they had great performances of the songs, some really good award speeches, some wholesome award speeches, and then Hugh Grant joking about the fact that he looks like a scrotum. Yes, he got away with saying that. It was an Oscars that felt like it's trying to find its place in the modern awards landscape. And fair play to Glenn Weiss and the directing team who made the show happen last night. It was a good show. But does it have a future on broadcast TV? We'll let the viewing figures speak for themselves when they come out. So, that's the broadcast side of things covered. There's going to be a lot of YouTube time travel today because I've only had 4 hours of sleep. Let's look back at the awards journey so far. Younger, more awake me. Take it away. Well, thanks very much, older and slightly more sleep deprived me. Before we rip into the madness that happened in the early hours of this morning, as you potentially watch this here in England, we'll recap the full awards race so far. We're going to cover it blow by blow with the Golden Globes first, and it was a weird one this year. Like, the Globes have kind of lost their relevancy since Ricky Gervais stopped hosting them. But the big winners this year, The Fablemans and Banshees of Inisherin were the winners for Best Motion Picture, Drama and then Musical Comedy, respectively. Fablemans, it's Spielberg, you can't really argue with that. Banshees, though, I'm so happy it's getting the love that it is. It was one of the strongest films of the last 12 months. It's Martin McDonagh back to his absolute peak. It's not everyone's cup of tea in terms of how dark it gets, but I'm glad to see an original British film like that get the love that it deserves. We mentioned it a lot in Wipe, but it is one of those kinds of films that you kind of have to watch to really understand. On the animated front, it was Del Toro. No surprises there. Pinocchio has proven that animation ain't just for kids. It's become one of the unsung successes of the award season. And then non-English language. We all thought All Quiet on the Western Front would win that one, but it went to Argentina 1985, which, again, great to see these foreign and independent art house films get the love that they deserve, I guess. Performances, though. Austin Butler took home Best Actor for Drama. Cate Blanchett took home the respective award for her work on Tar. And again, two solid performances. Butler still has the Elvis accent in him, which, that's full method. And Cate Blanchett is Cate Blanchett. Although looking at the competition, she was up against Olivia Colman, Viola Davis, Ana de Armas, and Michelle Williams. Like, there was no major competitors aside from that. Best performance in a musical comedy? Well, Colin Farrell for Banshees, Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once, two very good talents. And again, looking at who they were all up against, Farrell had to beat Diego Calva in Babylon, underrated performance in Babylon, Daniel Craig for Glass Onion, Adam Driver in White Noise, Ralph Fiennes for The Menu, Michelle Yeoh had to beat Leslie Manville. I don't get why Leslie Manville was nominated, to be honest. Mrs. Harris was all right at best. And the Everything Everywhere Love continued because Ke-Hee Kwan won Best Supporting Actor in a musical or comedy. And then Angela Bassett winning a Golden Globe for Black Panther. What's happening in Hollywood? So people have cottoned on to the fact that, oh yeah, it's 2023. This stuff matters. But the other key wins, Spielberg took home Best Director for The Fablemans, Martin McDonagh took home Best Screenplay for Banshees, Justin Hurwitz won Original Score for Babylon. Not gonna lie, I have listened to that soundtrack quite a few times. Original Song went to Nutty Nutty from Triple R, which I've not seen because they don't press screen those films here in England. But looking at the box office reception that it had, looking at how well it went down with its sort of like local audiences and how many cinemas ended up booking it for like limited runs, it is great to see films of that ilk do well, especially beating Hold My Hand from Top Gun. The Globes are crazy. And then we moved on to the BAFTAs. Now, the BAFTAs for us here in England are way easier to watch, way easier to follow. But one perk of this year is that they actually did four of the live awards. They did the last four awards on the telecast live. And it was an alright ceremony this year. Like, Richard E. Grant was okay. The Alison Hammond bits weren't quite, they weren't hitting. They were going after the viewing figures. But we'll run you through the runners and hitters. We've quite frankly, we should have done this in February, but as you have heard me discuss at the top of this video, I've been a little bit busy. Adapted screenplay went to All Quiet on the Western Front. It was one of the easiest awards to call on the night. Supporting actress went to Kerry Condon for Banshees of Inisherin. It was a shock win, fully deserved. She was about as good as Colin Farrell in the film. Supporting actor went to another Banshees cast member, Barry Keoghan. He's had a strong career so far. Like, I've been a fan of him since his early work. And you know that when you work with Christopher Nolan, you're on to a big career. He worked with him on Dunkirk, and he's gone on to do some great things. He's appeared in films like American Animals. He's rumoured to be playing the Joker in the next Matt Reeves Batman film. So he's got a strong career ahead of him. Very rough upbringing from what I've read as well. It is a really good to see an undersung talent break Hollywood like that and make his way to the top. Cinematography, it went to James Friend for All Quiet on the Western Front. We all thought with this one, it was going to be Roger Deakins yet again. He's one of the rare DLPs who can turn in great film after great film after great film. But James Friend, what he did with All Quiet on the Western Front, he really did show like the brutal realities of the war. And it is, again, one of those rare moments where a Netflix film gets recognised at the top level. Outstanding debut by a British producer, director, writer. Went to After Sun. No surprises here. No arguments there. After Sun became one of the biggest cult films of 2022. It is a shame not many multiplexes got their hands on it because MUBI were distributing it over here. But it is a film that's won its audience, attracted an audience. Paul Mescal has become another breakout talent off the back of an incredible 18 months of film and TV work. It is great to see After Sun take home the gold. The same with Pinocchio, which, like at the Globes, won the animated feature. Del Toro was on fine form giving that speech. Like, thank you for recognising a film that we frankly shouldn't have been nominated for, along those lines. For original script, Martin McDonagh, yet again, for Banshees of Inisherin. Visual effects went to Avatar: The Way of Water, which I can understand. They always go for the biggest, the best, the boldest. It's one of the few awards that Avatar has won because people are wise up to those kinds of box office smash films. The Fellowship went to the legend that is Sandy Powell. She's designed so many great costumes for films over the years. She's had an incredible career thus far. It is great to see her get the Fellowship, get recognition on a wider level beyond what us film nauseous see week in, week out on the big screen, looking for her name on the credit reel. Outstanding British film went to The Banshees of Inisherin. This was the moment that I knew it wouldn't be winning Best Film. Because it always seems to be, if you win an outstanding British film, it's the thanks for coming, you're the best British film you've got, but there's not a chance in hell you're going to win Best Picture. So we can, off the back of that win, I think we can rule Banshees out for Best Film at the Oscars now, because, bearing in mind, I'm recording this on the Friday before. Well, I've been recording this on the Friday before, so you'll know. You'll know whether it went Best Film by the time this goes out. Outstanding Direction went to Edward Berger for Quiet on the Western Front. That was the third award it won on the night. Hair and Makeup went to Elvis. Another win for All Quiet on the Western Front to take it up for foreign film. Elvis won casting. Editing went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. Documentary feature went to a little film called Navalny. Again, understandable. The one political award they give it to Navalny. Original score and original sound. Original score and sound editing went to All Quiet on the Western Front. Elvis won costumes. An Irish Goodbye won Outstanding British Short. And the final of the so-called lesser awards, Outstanding British Short Animation, went to a film with quite a long-winded title, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. Such a long-winded name, but I couldn't actually get it on a little bit of paper, so for the purpose of the voiceover. So we've had to do an ADR pickup. Welcome to the joys of content making. And Babylon won production design. And then on to the four that they presented live on BBC One, because for those of you who don't follow award season, the Oscars are broadcast live in America, which is great, which is good, everyone can watch again, but the BAFTAs are delayed by 2 hours, so they can put it on after the watershed on the BBC. The one downside of that, it means a lot of the awards are spoiled by the distributors who don't respect the fact that a lot of us are watching it at 9 o'clock. But they did do the last four awards live. They did the Rising Star, they did Best Actor, Best Actress, and they did Best Film. So the EE Rising Star, voted for by you, the general public, went to Emma Mackey for her work in Emily. It was a clear race. It was always going to be one of the sex education actresses who was going to win that award. It was either Corinne or Amy Lou Wood. I know Daryl McCormack, who was in Pixie and Good Luck to You, Leo Grant. He was the one I was backing to win it, but Emma Mackey's had a good career so far. I know she's going to be saying goodbye to sex education because she's going to be going full Hollywood fairly soon. But a worthy winner for the Rising Star. Again, as expected, Austin Butler won the BAFTA for Best Actor for Elvis. Cate Blanchett won Best Actress for Tar. And with 7 BAFTA wins, the clear favourite going into the Oscars, winning Best Film, All Quiet on the Western Front. It is bonkers to see how Netflix films are being recognised at this level. It's to think, 2.5 years ago, we were all bickering over the theatrical window, and here they are now, dominating award shows. So what of the Oscars then, Mr. Smith? Take it away, future me. And what of the Oscars indeed? This year, all 24 categories were presented live in the telecast, unlike last year where they chopped and changed a few bits. So we're going to go through them in presentation order. Animated feature went to Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. No surprises considering how well it dominated the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs. Nominated supporting actor and actress. Supporting actor was Kehi Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. The first statement win of the night. One of the most wholesome speeches of the night. Talking about the American dream and a lot of love in the room for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Backed up with Jamie Lee Curtis winning for supporting actress. Two awards in the space of what, 5 minutes? You could tell it was going to be a good night for Daniels and the team. Documentary feature went to Navalny. No shock here, just the right call considering how Oscar voters generally lean in terms of the political side of things. Again, one that we called quite early on for the during the BAFTA race. Live action short, we had our first British winner with An Irish Goodbye. And the guys who made that short, fair play to them for using that speech to sing Happy Birthday to one of their cast. That's an Oscar moment that's going to live long in the soul for him. Cinematography went to James Friend for All Quiet on the Western Front. It's big, it's bold, it's brash. It is this year seems to be the year where Netflix really embraced streamers. I know we had Coda dominate last year, but it felt like Netflix put a lot more into putting their films in cinemas and qualifying for Oscars the old-fashioned way. Which could only be a good thing long-term for the survival of the industry and the whole streaming domination thing. We'll probably end up doing a journal about it at some point. Makeup and hairstyling went to the Whale. I can see why it won. Like, the makeup, the prosthetics, it felt right. But it was the first true shock win of the night. We were all expecting Elvis to win. And what put the cherry on top of that is they got played off. They were obviously running a little bit late by that point. Costume design went to Ruth Carter for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. First woman to win in two categories of an ethnic minority. I can see why Black Panther won it. It was a big film, it was a bold film, the costume designs were really great. Again, a lot of the mainstream press were favouring Elvis to win just because of the sheer amount of costumes involved, but they like the elaborate design. Film not in the English language, All Quiet on the Western Front. No qualms there. We called that. We absolutely called that. Documentary short went to The Elephant Whisperers. Obviously, we don't get the shorts here in the UK, so we can't really pass comment too much. I know it is on some streaming platforms. Animated short is one the BBC are very happy with. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse went out on the Bebo over Christmas, it turns out. And you just know it's going to win. Peter Bainton commissioned it. He is Mr. British Film these days. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes on I think it's still on the iPlayer from over Christmas. So we might have a look at it as a short take at some point. Production design, another win for All Quiet on the Western Front. Same with score for Volker Bertelmann. So that was four wins for All Quiet on the Western Front at the halfway mark. We were all, at this point, I was thinking, it's going to win Best Picture, isn't it? It's going to win Best Picture, but again, we'll get there. Visual effects, no surprises here. It went to Avatar: The Way of Water, only the highest grossing film of 2022. No shocks here. And another award in which they got played off. You love to see it. They then presented the Original and Adapted Screenplays Awards. For Original Screenplay, it went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. One of the biggest roars of the night when Daniels came up to do the speech. I have a lot of respect for them. Like, they have spoken a lot about how A24 took a chance on financing a weird film, their words, and it has paid off quite handsomely for them. To a point where one of the local cinemas that I go to had it back in a couple of weeks ago as part of their Back on the Big Screen award season programme, and it pulled in a packed house even though the projectors were playing up that day. Well, that's for one, if you know, you know, kind of thing. Adapted screenplay. We were all thinking it would be Top Gun. We were all thinking it would be something else, but it went to Women Talking. And they got it right. They got the title of the film right. unlike at the SAG Awards, women are talking. Come on, Travolta. But that was a big shock win. Very wholesome speech. I can see big things going forward. And on top of that, it's always good to have an Oscar show punctuated by big moments. Especially when the next cast we got presented was Sound, went to Top Gun, no surprises there. Sounded big in cinemas, sounded even bigger on a home theatre rig. But that was warming us up for a little bit of history. Original song. Everyone was expecting Lady Gaga to win for Hold My Hand for Top Gun. But there was a performance in the show that won over everyone's hearts. And it made a bit of history in the process. Nasi Udasi from Indian film RRR won Best Original Song. And like I said on the top of the swing, I can't get it out of my head. It is catchy. It is really catchy. It is great to see Ampus embrace foreign cinema like this. It's the first time we've really seen Indian cinema reflected on this stage. It's not, we've not had a foreign film embrace this much since Parasite, which says a lot. On to film editing, and it was yet another win for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Again, absolutely crazy film in terms of what it does, how it's edited. Once you see that montage, you can really understand why the editing branch can kind of be leaned that way. The same with direction. Daniels won, as a collective, Best Director. Again, these two have grown on me since the ceremony finished a little over 6.5 hours ago. It's a film that has gone down in history. It's a proper cult film that's got legs all of its own and run with its sort of like own identity. I can only see big things for these two, and I cannot wait to see what blockbusters they inevitably get offered off the back of this, unless they break with convention and stay independent, making the films they want to make. That's what I actually want to see more, thinking about it. And then the big three. Outstanding performance by lead actor. I say this every year, Oscar voters like to make people suffer. People thought Austin Butler was going to win. But Austin didn't quite suffer for his art as much as Brendan Fraser did. I mean, The Whale is not an easy film to watch. At all. But it's his performance that sells it. I know a lot of people said it works better as a stage show. I can understand that. But this is the completion of the redemption arc. He was blacklisted from Hollywood for many years. This is the culmination of his proper journey back to the top. And it is going to be good to see him back in proper good films again. He's made a lot of lesser fare over the years. He's not been in much. But Fraser is back. And if anything, a worthy follow-up winner to that guy who won it last year, am I right? And then for outstanding performance by lead actress, well, there was only really one favourite. She won it. Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. First Asian woman to win Best Actress at the Oscars. It was a good night to be an independent film fan. It was a good night to be working for A24. And it is great to see them getting a bit more traction in terms of the kind of films that they're making, because they have made some really good films lately. Like, it is a shame that A24 as a brand doesn't exist as much in the UK yet. That will probably change in light of last night. Much in the same way that foreign films didn't get as much of a spotlight until Parasite happened. These last couple of Oscar shows have been like paradigm shifts for the way the exhibition sector programmes. And backed up by its Best Picture win, Everything Everywhere All at Once is the de facto king of Hollywood right now. Everyone fell in love with it when it came out last April. Everyone fell in love with it even more when it started getting the awards love. And everyone fell in love with it again when it held off All Quiet on the Western Front, a bona fide war film, which not really an easy sell for audiences, and importantly, theatrical exclusive, to win the biggest award in the industry, and six others. So yeah, big wins for the Oscars. All Quiet on the Western Front won four of them. Everything Everywhere All at Once won seven. No real surprises from the show to report on. But we do have, because we have a little bit of time free, as is tradition in these parts, it wouldn't be an award season without mentioning the other lesser award show. The one where it's okay to laugh and ridicule at films. Yes, we're of course talking about the Razzies. And some of the categories this year were absolutely hilarious. We don't have time to run through all the list of nominees. We've just got time to rustle through the winners. I can tell you that Andrew Dominik's Blonde won Worst Picture. Worst Actress went to the Razzies themselves, and there's a pretty dark reason why. The reason the Razzies won is because it should have been a 12-year-old nominated for this category, where the Razzies were nominated. They nominated themselves. They removed Keira Armstrong for a performance in Firestarter. They removed her nomination because of the backlash. And they gave the award to themselves because they are about as dark as a comedian I watched in Manchester last week. A guy called Jim Jefferies. Just had a Netflix special out. Their award for the worst remake rip-off. Their award for worst remake, spin-off or sequel went to Disney's version of Pinocchio. Yes, Disney put out a version of Pinocchio this year, and oh boy. At least it wasn't as bad as that Italian Pinocchio they showed at some cinemas when they reopened 2 and a bit years ago. Worst supporting actor went to Tom Hanks for Elvis. Or worst actor, by the way, went to Jared Leto for Morbius. Every time I see Jared Leto's name, I think of Kermode. I'm a nominate! If you've seen that House of Gucci review, you'll understand. Worst supporting actress went to Adria Arjona for Morbius as well. Worst screen combo. I'm going to read this out verbatim here. I had to write this down. Worst screen combo went to Tom Hanks and his latex-laden face and ludicrous accent for Elvis. It was a ludicrous accent. The prosthetics look awful. This is why I've got the Razzies more than the Oscars. They just take the mick out of themselves. Full stop. And speaking of someone who can't take the mick out of himself, worst director, Coulson Baker and Modson for Good Morning. Coulson Baker, better known as Machine Gun Kelly. Proof, if proof be needed, that he can't act or direct. 0% on Rotten Tomatoes doesn't lie, folks. And their final award went to Blonde for Worst Screenplay. With that, that's your award season done for 2023. It's been a long ride getting this over the line, especially with this thing, if you're watching on YouTube, dominating a lot of my life. It's not easy being a rugby fan these days, especially being a sail fan, but that's irrelevant. Back to younger, more awake me in the studio, I guess. So that just about does it for this year's big awards wrap-up. We don't want to call it What the Hell Happened, because it's not really What the Hell Happened. In terms of content coming up here on the LeeJackSmith.com YouTube channel, well, we'll be bringing the journal back in a couple of weeks for our little industry-specific year in review, covering the boring, nerdy stuff that you guys don't really know about. So, like, average ticket price, how much you're paying for your tickets, your concession spend, what's been happening in the industry in terms of technological developments, new openings, all of the boring stuff, really. And then we've got a couple of journals free to close out the year. We don't know what we want to do with them. So if there's any topics you want covering on the journal or in a Cinema 101, let us know in the comments, because aside from the wipe, we're kind of burned out for ideas now. We've got a couple in the works in terms of full-blown rants, but we want you to shape the future of Series 3. Another thing we're going to be launching in a couple of weeks' time, we've realised short-form content works. So don't be surprised if you see the old Talking Smith About Film name revived, but in a new format designed for platforms like, I don't know, TikTok, @SmithOnFilm. Get ready for that. But that is just about it for this special What the Hell Happened for awards coverage. As you can tell, I've been out of practice at this for a few weeks, so getting back into full presenter mode has not been easy, but we're getting there. Join us back here in a couple of weeks for the return of the journal for our State of Play 2023. But until then, go get some sleep, plenty of Earl Grey, rest up, and get ready for a couple of weeks of rather big movies, full stop. I've been Jack from LeeJackSmith.com, and until next time, we'll see you at the movies.